Hello, everyone. Welcome to the new podcast series, Sion 180. This is episode one, and I am super elated to have as my very first guest on Sion 180, the internationally renowned Farley Flex out of Toronto, Canada. Farley is an executive producer in music and television, an award-winning internationally recognized community leader, social activist, music promoter, consultant, artist manager, and motivational speaker. He is perhaps best known for being a judge on all six seasons of the reality television series Canadian Idol. Farley has traveled globally, sharing his immense knowledge and experiences, working with socioeconomically challenged communities, helping them to better fulfill their potential, identify options, and make different choices for themselves and their families. Today, he is here to help us get into gear to start this new year. Welcome, Farley, to Sion 180.
Thanks so much, Leslie-Anne, for having me and to your hardworking team. I noticed you dropped a little rhyme at the end of your introduction there, so we're already on the same page. I like that.
Exactly. I thought as a music producer, you might appreciate that.
Wonderful.
Well, it's great to chat with you again, Farley. I know we've had, previous brief discussions, and I've given just a briefing of your tremendous career to the audience. And I know you're a very humble and modest person. But along this journey, I believe that you're a proponent that, success is not a destination. It's a journey. So I would like you to tell the audience what has shaped you along this journey and what has contributed to your many successes.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the more than kind words. When I think of shaping from the perspective of a journey, I think of you need a mold to start off with, right? So my mold is family. My mold is my mother, principally my siblings, my close cousins, all of whom shaped my perspective on the world through inclusion. We were raised to be part of the conversation, not this is big people conversation, stay out. And we didn't have that kind of culture as Trinidadians. We were included in all discussions and, built the confidence to enter into discussions on our own accord. So that's really what shaped me in terms of the early sort of fundamental years.
Yes. So the importance of family for that foundation is very important in the Caribbean, isn't it?
Yes, family foundation. And I think the key word there for me is inclusion, right? So when there was a debate about what car is nicer than the other car, which soccer player is better, or football player is better than the other football player, which team do you support, which politicians do you vote for, except philosophically, we were part of those discussions as early as I can remember, quite honestly.
And I think that's important, for us to understand that it sets the tone for young kids to begin to start thinking about things and analyzing at a very early age, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know how I feel about the importance of knowing one's interests, personality traits, and skill sets. When people provide what my mother refers to as the buffet of life in front of you, and you know what's in every one of those dishes, right? You can say to yourself, this is my favorite. I don't like that one. I had it before. I tried it, but it's not really for me, et cetera, et cetera. And then you start to narrow down and hone in on the things that drive your passion.
That's right. So what I hear you saying is that this buffet is now presenting us with options and we have to make a choice. And how Absolutely. Important is that choice in our
very
final
important.
Selection?
Sorry, very, very important, because what ends up happening is I always, based on the communities I work with, I always try to help them identify there's no such thing as bad people, it's just bad choices. And choices have to be based on the options that you're not only aware of, but that are made available to you. So if you live in a community where the options are narrowed through poverty, racism, whatever it may be, then you're going to choose from what you're aware of. You can't say, I'm going to close my eyes and just reach out and grab something. You choose Yes. what's been presented to you by other members of your community, whether positive or negative, other influences in your life. And if those influences happen to be narrow or negative, that's what you're going to choose from because it's all that you're aware of.
Very important. And you see, most of what you're saying again takes me back to, I think, your favorite word about choices. And you dissected that word for me in our previous discussion. I'd like you to share a bit of that with the audience.
You know, it derives out of that whole concept of the buffet of life and knowing what choices are available to you. But the primary or the fundamental aspect of it is the IPS, the interests, the personality traits, and the skill sets. If you know what makes your heart beat, like, you know, or turns your head or gets you excited, that's an interest.
Right.
So you have to pay attention to those things and have the curiosity to actually identify those things. Right. Then your personality traits, which ideally are complementary to your interests. So generally, you'll find someone who's into a specific aspect of industry or career path or pastime. Their personalities will generally shape and mold and adapt to the requirements of that interest. You know, so if you're interested in being a performer, hypothetically, right, courage generally comes with that, right? The courage to step up and demonstrate or exhibit your skills.
Right.
And then the third component are your skill sets. Do your skill sets complement your interests and your personality traits? And this is all sort of symbiotic in all directions. So all three elements should be complementary of the other. Or the other two, and that will help you define what we call your GPS, right? So your IPS leads to your GPS being your global positional situation.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Just as we do in our vehicles, right? You need to know, you have to punch in an address, which is your destination, right? And you punch in that address and it gives you a roadmap. Right. And you follow the roadmap. When you go against the roadmap, you'll hear you. I remember in the early days of GPS, it would say you have made a wrong turn.
Well,
for life skills, we need the exact same thing. And that's going to be based on the infrastructure around you, the family, the friends, the teachers, the coaches, all the people who have influence over your decision making should be helping you when they see you start to navigate off path. They should say, oh, no, come back to center because you're going to go in the turning lane and you're not trying to turn. And that turning lane could represent bad influences. It could represent distractions from your vision of self in the future. So I think that's what I shared with you previously. But you can certainly ask.
Yes, it is. Because I actually came away from that conversation thinking, you know, for the first time, the letter C is really a good thing to have because you spoke about confidence, communication, curiosity. And they were all in line with choice.
The seven C's.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, I love to talk about the seven C's. So the seven C's were derived out of just program development that I do along with my business partner, Roderick Brereton. And what we use as a really fundamental aspect of our training is help folks to utilize the seven C's as a tool. So it's conscious choice, curiosity, courage, challenge, change, commitment, and communication. Okay, so each of those have a functionality that leads to, and again, very spherical into no particular order. There's no number one C, number two C. It's just seven C's as a collective, and you should be applying them to all aspects of your life as much as possible on a consistent basis. So when we talk about conscious choice, that's the awareness that you have, and then the announcement to the world that you've made that choice. Not making it just internally, but expressing it externally. So those who love and care about you, right, will also facilitate awareness around that. So if I said to you, I'm thinking about becoming an astronomer, right? And you and I care about each other. What's going to happen is when you go on your daily path, you're going to be more cognizant, more aware that about any information you see that relates to astronomy. So you can come back and tell me about it.
Right.
So you're building a network of support just by sharing. Okay.
Yes.
And that comes through parents, siblings, friends, again, coaches, whomever it may be.
Yes.
Then if you look at something like, do you want me to go through each one? I can.
Yes, please. We need to hear it.
Okay. So curiosity, big one. Curiosity is all about that in just that internal drive to know more about the things that generate passion in you. So, you know, if let's use astronomy as the sample here, okay, as the case study. So if you have an interest in astronomy and you've announced it to your world, right, then you have to have the curiosity to pursue the knowledge and the information associated with astronomy. So the more you know about it, the more you can make an accurate decision or choice to pursue it as a career or a pastime or whatever it may be, yes. Right? Then you have to look at yourself and say, okay, what is holding me back from my quest to become an astronomer? And what's holding, you have to have the courage to look inside yourself and say, what is holding me back? I like to smoke weed. Okay, but when I smoke weed, I tend to sleep longer, which means the longer I sleep, the less I'm doing to achieve my goal. Correct. Right? So you have to say, what is that holding me back? And you have to have the courage to look inside yourself and see what is holding you back. And honestly, that could come in the form of substance abuse. It could be relationships, like a partner that is occupying your energy, right? Yes. The energy that you need to succeed, right? Mm-hmm. So as much as you might be into that relationship, it could be draining you of your potential.
Yes. Right? And sometimes too, sorry, Farley, I was thinking about fear being a number one factor, as you mentioned, courage.
Absolutely.
Fear in making a change, in making that choice, in pursuing that dream. Tell us how you overcome that fear using the same seven C's.
Absolutely. So fear, as we know, is the biggest inhibitor of success, right? Yes. So, and a lot of times fear is perspective, but it's also lack of knowledge. It's very closely associated with just general ignorance in the true definition of the word ignorance, right? You don't know, right? You fear what you don't know. You know, so we look at things like racism, and we often hear people say racism is ignorance. When people don't know about another culture, their general habit is to stay away from it because they don't understand it. Yes. But the idea with curiosity, it offsets that because it draws you to the things that you're interested in, right? So when you're curious, fear and curious generally don't live in the same house. Mm-hmm. Fear and curiosity. So what we always encourage people to do, if you're fearful of something, try to understand it before you stamp it down as something you should avoid, right? Try to understand it. You look at racial relations in North America, right? We've heard to, you know, you look at some of the mechanisms that bring people together, music, sports, etc., and you see people of different races, religions, etc., embracing one another when they're sharing a common victory. Right. When their hometown team wins the game, everybody hugs and high fives. If we could bottle that energy, which has no racism in it, no jealousy in it, it's all saying, we did it. We did it.
Strength and diversity. That,
absolutely. Strength and diversity. No question about it. So in terms of overcoming fear, then beyond the courage, then the next thing is to challenge yourself, right? To change, challenge and change worked in tandem here. Challenge yourself to change those things that are holding you back. Okay. And have being able to challenge yourself once you understand what it is holding you back is what's going to take you to the next step of going from the challenge to being able to change it so that it's no longer holding you back.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then you have your commitment, which I call stick-to-itiveness, right? You have to be able to stick to your plan. Yes. Stick to it without, like, in a relentless fashion. And if you look at some of the people we all admire in pop culture and in technology and so forth, the Elon Musk of the world, the Bill Gates, the you know the Michael E. Chins as a business person, you know, they're relentless in their quest to do more, do better, and even if it's to attain more, just financially. But the fact is, they're focused and they don't go off path, right? So when we see the Kobe Bryant's rest his soul and the Tiger Woods, LeBron James and people like that who are so relentless in their passion for what they do, that's what takes them from goodness to greatness.
Yeah, it's a big difference. And it's something in the Caribbean that I think we need to understand clearly. Just not being satisfied. You know, you got to this pinnacle. Okay, that's great. I've achieved it. Keep on moving forward. Why not achieve something more, something greater? Continue the pursuit.
Absolutely. It's good. That complacency is a big problem for us as a people. I mean, there's a lot of historical factors that we have to acknowledge. They're not crutches. They're just acknowledgements and understandings. We call it an explain game as opposed to a blame game. We're not blaming the transatlantic slave trade or colonization. We're just understanding the impacts it's had on us. right? So when you understand the impact, you can what we call reverse engineer those impacts and get back to ground zero, which is cultural identity, pride in Black culture, pride in our African heritage, etc., and holding on to those fundamentals as the catalyst and the fuel that drives us forward. Just a quick story. Kobe Bryant played against the Toronto Raptors years ago. He scored 38 points. He was the high scorer of the game. And there was a snowstorm the night of that game. So what happened was, because of the snowstorm, the hotel slips notes under the door, letting folks know what their flight conditions are. So they weren't able to fly out the next morning so that he could keep his daily training regimen. So what he did was, this was at 10:30 at night after he was the high scorer of the game, he called his trainer and said, "We have to go back to the gym." This is where to the stadium in Toronto where he played. And the trainer said, "Kobe, it's 10:30 at night. What are you talking about?" He said, "We just got the note that we can't fly home tomorrow morning, right? Because of the snowstorm." He said, "I have to go back to the gym tonight and shoot my 2,500 jump shots that I do every day, because this flight change disrupts my ability to do so." So if the greatest player at the time can be that dedicated to becoming even greater, who are we to be complacent?
That's right. Commitment and discipline.
Absolutely. And the final C in terms of listing it is communication. The communication of, and this is where understanding that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. The when you share with people who it is you are, why you are, what you are, then again, as I said with the conscious choice, people are more aware now of what it is you're interested in and what it is you're achieving. And how they can just by general support that interest and make sure you're aware of all the assets that are available to you.
Yeah, and it's very important, I think, for people like yourselves who are abroad and, you know, have made it successfully and continuing to do well, to explain this process to those of us in the Caribbean who sometimes feel limited by the fact that we're islands. That we're a boat people, as sometimes, you know, we are referred to by the metropolis. And I don't think they should be limiting themselves that way. I think I think they need to hear voices like yours to understand that there is this strength and this knowledge and this creativity, and I'm looking at your backdrop, that creates a power from within to allow you to succeed.
Absolutely. And this backdrop of the Adinkra symbols, which is part of our heritage as predominantly most of us who came through the Middle Passage came from Western Africa. And the Adinkra symbols are all have a particular meaning. I encourage folks to research that. And the point of research, to your point, it's really important for people to recognize that with the internet, there are no islandic barriers. You're not being on an island is literally no excuse anymore. Because you don't have to get access to information and people and opportunities. The internet is available to most people, and those who it's not available to, if they have a sense of purpose, they will find access, whether it be through an internet cafe, you know, as we used to use back in the day, or, you know, like Elon Musk with Tesla, he's come up with a new, and I'm hoping that it's being embraced in the Caribbean. It's called Starlink, which is a satellite access to internet. You could have it in the middle of the Sahara Desert and get 5G Wi-Fi, right? It's called Starlink. So I encourage folks to look into that and ensure that it's coming or already existing in throughout the Caribbean, so that people who live in rural areas can, again, you remove that excuse that, oh, I have no internet, or I have no access to Wi-Fi and things like that. We have to really make sure that technologically we're at the state of the art, or even better, contributing to advancing the state of the art. We don't always have to be on the receiving end of other people's innovations. We're very creative people. We've shown that through our resilience, through, you know, technically by the virtue of slavery and the strength and all that we've been through, we should not even be here. We know other groups that have literally been wiped out of the planet.
Wiped out,
You know? And we still thrive in our existence and are still contributing members in many categories, but we need to increase the number of categories that we're contributing to as leaders, not as followers.
Not as followers. That's absolutely essential because, you know, I think about the fact that we have this continuum of the pandemic, for instance. Yes. and how much it negatively impacts on our youth and just our populations in general, so that people are just trying to wade through feelings of fatigue, stagnation, despair. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that with someone like yourself, you see within every crisis an opportunity. And so how can we tell our young men, for instance, what lies ahead of them, that these are just speed bumps that they need to just navigate over and then proceed to accelerate? What can Farley tell them directly?
That's a great question. And, you know, when you think of, I'll use athletics, like the track and field, right?
Yeah.
As an example, because I know it's obviously highly appreciated throughout the Caribbean. When you're running a race and you recognize that your opponent is slowing down, your natural instinct is to speed up. Even if you're fatigued yourself, if you see your opponent who is ahead of you slowing down, you speed up inherently, okay? Or even if you're driving your car and you're trying to get into the turning lane and the person beside you in that lane starts to slow down, you recognize, okay, I can speed up, go ahead of them, right? Safely, of course, and make that and get into that lane so I can make the appropriate turn that I hope to make. Same thing with tragedy and crisis and so forth. When the world around you slows down, you should have the tools ready and available to speed up, right? And that speeding up can either get you ahead or get you at least not as far behind as you were. And that's why we have a program called Prep in Your Step. How do you prepare for your next step?
I like that.
And that comes from long-term preparation. What are you doing like four years before COVID comes? Are you living the right kind of life so that when COVID comes, you're more resilient to its impact than waking up and hearing on the news, there's this thing called COVID and it's going to do A, B, C, and D to your life. We should have been ready for that. So I'm happy to say that my business partner and I, Roderick, in advance of that, we're already doing work to help communities. So we help those communities get through COVID with a little less resistance than they would have had we not been there. You understand? And this comes with financial literacy, for instance. COVID affected the incomes of many people, but not the people who were financially prepared without knowing COVID was coming.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Then you have your daily health regimen, for instance, right? Were you, you know, whatever vitamins, vitamin D, well, in up here, vitamin D is important for Black people because we get less exposure to the sun, right?
Yes.
So are you taking your vitamin D? Are you exercising? Like we know COVID attacks people with underlying health circumstances,
correct,
which come from various lifestyles as well.
Yes.
So you have to say to yourself, am I living a healthy lifestyle so that if and when something like COVID comes about, I'm more resilient than the average person around me? These are all things that come with lifestyle choices, right? Mm-hmm. So people, of course, there's going to be anomalies and there are going to be healthy people that are adversely affected by COVID. But generally speaking, if you're in a situation of good health financially, intellectually, emotionally, and physically, and spiritually, depending on how you perceive life, right? And you have those things intact on an average Wednesday afternoon, then when COVID comes, your preparation is already there. There's already momentum to survive.
Yes.
You understand? So that's really what I would say to people is, and it starts, it's never too late. People make New Year's resolutions saying, oh, on January 1st, I'm going to join the gym. But they're thinking about that at the beginning of December. Why not start in the beginning of December?
Right.
Don't wait till January 1st, because that extra month can make a difference for you.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
It can. And that leads me to what attracted me to your life story, your transformative thinking. You don't just spout words, but there's action behind the words. And I feel that you need to convey that message to our audience as we wrap up today's episode and share with us probably two or three critical factors that allow you to transform your life and the lives of others. What are those three factors?
Absolutely. I think the first thing is the fundamental recognition that the two words human being collectively are a verb. Verbs are action words, right?
Yeah.
It would be human be, right? But we're human beings. It's a current, it's alive, it's active.
Yes.
So if you're not being active and activating or activist in your behavior, then you are not being human. Okay? So human being is action. So if look at your life, and you know, a lot of people feel stuck, right? Yes. They feel stuck. Stuck is a synonym for stagnation, right? Yes. If you're not doing something to get out of that stagnation, as something as simple as asking someone, investigating, researching, whatever it may be, to change that circumstance that you found yourself in based on your past behavior or lack thereof, right? Then things will stay the same. They always say that, you know, the old adage, the greatest, two things. What's the one I was going to use? So Einstein's quote, and who was, a lot of people don't know Einstein was a civil rights activist on behalf of Black people. Most people don't know that because they don't promote that, right? Okay. Because because think about it, from white societies, the incumbent society, which is generally in our hemisphere, white people, right? They are not going to acknowledge that the person that they've titled as the smartest person ever was also against racism, okay? But he said that the greatest evil is not what we humans do, it's those who stand by and watch it being done. Now, you can transform that into your personal life and say, the worst thing we can do to ourselves is recognize something that we're not doing and not do something about it. Right? We have to acknowledge, recognize, and activate some sort of strategy to get out of that stuck circumstance, right? That's number one. I would say that the implementation of the seven C's is critical to getting out of the whole concept of transformative change, right? We have to change our circumstance and become contributing members, not just to our own lives, but to the lives of those we care about and to the general population. When cancer gets solved, are there Black researchers at the table? When global warming gets solved, are there Black geologists, et cetera, at the table? When crime is mitigated to its lowest level, are there Black minds contributing to that outcome? Where are we at the table? Because if you know what, if you're not at the table, you're going to be on the menu.
That's right.
And that's the key right there. So where are we in the resolve of these global and local issues and personal issues? Is somebody else going to solve your problem for you? Or are you going to contribute to solving your own challenges? When you contribute to solving your own challenges, an inherent level of confidence boost happens because you feel a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting a D in math at school, he said, "No, I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to go on Khan Academy. I'm going to get a tutor. I'm going to do whatever it takes." And then you bump yourself up to a B. The feeling that you get when you see that paper that says B on it, and you're used to the D's historically, that we have to bottle that, right? And use that as the fuel to continue to inspire us and keep us interested and curious about our own potential. We must be curious about our potential.
Good. And we do have the potential in the Caribbean. So there's no excuse.
More so, absolutely. Absolutely.
No excuse. Thank you so much, Farley. It was wonderful chatting with you. Thank you for imparting the words of wisdom to our Caribbean audience. So many key words: the prep in the step, the curiosity, the challenge, the commitment, the empowerment, the discipline, the continuous pursuit. These messages and these themes that have come through your chat with me today are certainly encouraging and inspiring. And that's what we want to do. We want to motivate our audience to move beyond neutral. Get out of that chair. Go pursue. Go do it. Be active.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me, sister. I really appreciate it. I wish you the best of success with the podcast. Embrace your audience and interact with them. And, you know, make sure if they ask you questions, that I'm always here to help you and support you. And if they have questions about anything that I said, happy to facilitate that kind of support.
Brilliant, because I'm sure there will be a lot of questions that they'll want to forward to you. Thank you so much for appearing on this podcast.
All right.
God bless you. Take good care.
All the best.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Once again, I want to thank the incredible Farley Flex for a very fascinating discussion today, talking about the importance of choice and the buffet of life, what is presented to us, the good, the bad, the highs and the lows, and what drives our passion, how we navigate life speed bumps, with an assertive mentality and an awareness that we can get over it. So I want to thank you for joining us in this discussion. and to ask you to join me again on episode 2 with the delightful and very experienced lawyer turned therapist, Shari Warner, out of Florida, who would handle the incredibly touching and sensitive subject of mental health. This is one you won't want to miss. It's coming up on 27th of February, and I look forward to you joining us once again on Sion 180. Remember that you can follow me on social media, our Instagram and Facebook pages, as well as our website, sion180.com. Be safe, everybody.